okay, say something, and then I will respond with a, like, derogatory comment. Maybe not derogatory, is that the word, no. Is that, does that infer something hate, like?
Yeah.
It's not used.
Well, let's try it. I think I know what you mean. Ready?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Screw you, asswipe. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 6th, 2008. Hello and welcome everybody to, you know, the show that we've been doing.
Thank you.
Here for a while. Yeah,
it's
thank you.
It's great to be here.
Hi, Edge Guy. Edge Guy's here, guys. You won't believe it.
Yeah, right?
So how's it going?
It's going well, and as I hinted earlier, happy birthday, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. I need to thank you, my family, for your generous gifts.
Got it.
Yes, including, I gotta share this with everybody. Actually, I think you forgot to bring our original music files home.
Again. I suck.
I want to be known.
Well, I'm bringing my computer home for Christmas, so it won't be an issue.
We've been changing our music in this a little bit. We're not planning to change it every time. We just keep forgetting the things.
Yeah, it's
but
fun weeks.
This week you probably heard something from, a new CD I got for Christmas. It's a Mega Man Rock CD that, was actually part of the 20th anniversary of Mega Man in Japan. So this is a Japanese only CD. I was sort of hinting that I wanted this much earlier, and they were very kind enough to get it for me, and that was awesome. I also got It's a Persia, a limited edition. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Mirror's Edge, and my younger brother found it fit to finally get me a new wall because I've been carrying around the old same old thing for years. So I got a Game Boy wallet.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yes, and among other nice things. So thank you for all that.
You're welcome.
I can't remember the last time I shared what I got for my birthday in a public forum, except for maybe kindergarten.
It's okay.
It's fun stuff. Too bad I didn't get to play Prince of Persia or Mirror's Edge, because then I would talk about that on the show.
Mm.
Be timely. Well, I'll talk about Prince of Persia and Mirror's Edge next week.
Yes.
Hopefully. Finals and all that.
Yeah, two of the three big parkour games.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. What do you think is a better parkour experience? We haven't even done the intro yet, or we're talking about.
Is
Mirror's Edge, or you play more of Mirror's Edge than I have?
I haven't touched Prince of Persia. I played.
No, not Prince of Persia. Mirror's Edge or Assassin's Creed. What's the better parkour game?
They're different because Mirror's Edge is more about like kind of moving quickly without stopping. Whereas Assassin's Creed's a little slower because there's a lot of climbing and things to it.
Assassin's Creed has a nice flow to it, though, because you really do just kind of hold down a button and just kind of go.
Yeah, it's...
But it works well. I mean, that sounds like you're not doing anything.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed's a little more automated, whereas Mirror's Edge is a little more, you have to work for it.
Right.
Okay. They're both good.
Anyway, so we're going to start with news, besides all this nonsense we've been talking about.
Yep.
We're really going to start with news. There's going to be a
I got a best ever.
We're doing a best ever?
I got a best ever.
Okay, I was about to say we're not going to do best ever because we're doing something yet at the end. But okay, so we're going to do best ever.
Yeah.
You have an answer or die?
No, I think the best ever will be sufficient
week. No answer or die this week.
It's your birthday. I wouldn't want to kill you on your birthday.
That is true. How nice of you.
Yes.
Maybe I'll come up with something for you.
Okay.
Just to be amusing. Okay, so we're going to do best ever. Then we're going to talk about our week in gaming. Then we're going to do the downloadable game releases, the normal game releases. Then... what do we do after that?
Derek's top 10.
Top 10, who,
it's a good one.
This list, I believe, was inspired by our last episode. It's the top 10 worst Sonic games, which we got a lot of feedback on our sort of
Sonic tirade.
Yes.
Seems like you guys liked it.
Yeah, we had a big Sonic rant last week, and I think it was healthy for us.
Yeah, it helped get the bad feelings out.
I'm feeling better, though, because at first it seemed like the reviews were kind of okay for it. They've been getting worse. First, IGN gave it a 4-something. GameSpot today gave it a 3.5. When was the last time GameSpot went that
low?
Seriously, though. A main installment in the Sonic franchise has gotten a 3.5 from GameSpot.
GameSpot.
Like, what did they give Mario Galaxy?
I think like a 9.4
I'm
going to
look that up in a second.
Okay.
Doing news. Going to do the mail barrel.
And then I finally beat Fallout.
Yes. So at the end of the show, we're going to do one of our kind of trademark, I like to think, end of show things where we're going to talk about Fallout 3.
Yes.
So it's going to be spoiler filled and all that. So before that, we're going to do a break so you can just skip out on it if you don't want to. We'll play some fantastic Fallout music, related music there.
We would use Fallout music anyway this week, so there you go.
Yeah.
I'm off the hook.
Well, we're still using some of this awesome Mega Man music.
Yes, that's the intro.
That's the intro, yes. That's going to be good stuff. Probably get a weapon again. Or maybe the awesome rock version of the title. I don't know why I'm talking about things that these people already know that I've chosen.
Yeah, we don't know what it is yet, though.
Wrong window. You opening up iTunes?
I clicked the wrong thing. All right, let's do the news. Not a ton this week, but some good stuff.
Okay.
So there were unconfirmed field reports that were later confirmed, but a new revision of the Xbox 360 hardware is out there, codenamed Jasper. The big difference is it has a 65-nanometer core in the CPUs and GPUs.
This talk would make a lot of sense if I was Tron.
Yeah, you know, because that's where you live. It's like getting nicer housing or something.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, it basically means it runs cooler and less energy and all that, and it should kill, finally, the Red Ring once and for all.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah, so they say. Also,
what's Jasper mean?
I don't know. Also,
is it a butler?
No. These now feature 256 megabytes of internal memory.
Is that a lot?
The size of the memory card. In fact, the arcade doesn't even come with the memory card anymore. It just has the internal memory. This is presumably so that everybody can, you know, reliably get the NXE.
Okay, real quick.
Yes?
Mario Galaxy from GameSpot got a 9.5.
What did I say, 9.4?
Yeah. Mario Sonic Unleashed, a 3.5. That is a difference of 6 points on a 10-point scale.
That's a lot.
Oh, God. Okay, go
anyway,
ahead.
And finally, it uses a 150-watt power supply instead of 175-watt.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were still talking about
numbers
and watts.
It's okay. Let's go on to other stuff. The Witcher is coming to consoles.
What are they going
to
call it? The Witchest?
No. Rise of the White Wolf.
Rise of the Whiter Wolf?
No, just White Wolf.
Oh, it should be the Woofer.
God. Anyway, they're completely rebuilding
these
the engine.
Just write themselves.
Yeah, yeah. They're completely rebuilding the engine from the ground up. I guess, like, content-wise, it'll be the same, but they are completely overhauling the combat to make sense for a console. Should be good times. I enjoy The Witcher very much.
I never played The Witcher. Was it fun?
It's really good. It's one of those slow burn games, like the one I go to, like, once a month, and I'll play it for, like, a day. Like, only that. So, like, I'm getting to the end of chapter one, finally. I think last played it like a couple weeks ago.
The zero punctuation guy described it, Yahtzee, mm-hmm. described it as kind of an MMORPG, but not an MMO.
Yeah, that's accurate. Kind of. And it's got a cool combat system on the PC.
Although people said the same thing about Final Fantasy XII, and I thought that was awesome.
Right. Okay, so, well, now with the Sonic stuff. Oh real quick, I should mention, CD Projekt Red, the guys who made The Witcher and also founders of GoodOldGames.com, the two co-founders won Entrepreneurs of the Year in Europe, so congratulations, guys. I like them. Okay, so if you heard us last week, you heard one of the things we friggin' ranted about in Sonic games of late is why it's not just Sonic running. Well, apparently David Clayman of the IGN Three Red Lights podcast asked somebody from Sega this at TGS, and I'm just going to read his quote.
This is a long quote. You're reading this whole thing?
Yeah, because you kind of have to hear the whole thing to hear it. It's complete idiocy. It's worded strangely because, you know, this is a transcript of him talking, so let's try it. I asked one of the developers at TGS, you know, I was like, come on, everybody just wants Sonic running. Like, what's up with the Werehog? And he was like, well, here's the deal. He runs at this miles per hour, kilometers per hour, and he laid out all the statistics on how fast this hedgehog goes. And he was like, in order to make a game where Sonic is running and everybody enjoys the whole thing, we'd have to design this many miles of level, and it was some ungodly number. And he's like, and that would be like maybe a 3-hour game. And I was like, wow, well, that kind of stinks. And he's like, yeah, so we got to do this other stuff. I want them to just go on the Virtual Console, download Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and notice how Sonic is not running 300 miles per hour throughout the entire game nonstop. That actually stops the platform and go vertical and do all other kinds of things a lot.
Okay, that's all right.
I just had to get that out. Yeah, we're good. Okay, so listen, he doesn't have to be running the whole time. It can slow down a bit. It's okay.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't need to go 300 miles per hour.
No, how fast he's like gonna I get. Said, half the time you're playing Sonic Unleashed, you're not controlling it. With all the speed ramps, grind rails, and springs, you're not even doing anything half the time. Loops are completely uninteractive.
Right. So, yeah. That excuse doesn't fly with me. And you know what? Even still, I'd rather play a good 3-hour Sonic game.
Yeah, I'll pay $60 for it. Hell,
right.
At this point.
All right, so let's move on, because we even we have Sonic coming up later with the top 10.
Yeah. So. All right. So Atari unveiled a whole bunch of their games that are upcoming with some trailers and stuff released. One of them was Riddick, Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Athena, where we finally got more details on this game. Because, I mean, we've all kind of known this was coming for a while. And the way it was originally understood was basically a remastered, you know, high-def port of Escape from Butcher Bay with some new content, which everyone took to mean just like, you know, an extra hour tacked on to the end. Well, in fact, the whole Dark Athena campaign is basically the sequel to Butcher Bay, and this thing will include Butcher Bay remastered for free as well. So you're getting two complete games, and at least we know the one is really damn good.
Not a bad deal.
So this is going to be sweet. Also, they unveiled the multiplayer modes. They're going to have multiplayer now. Did you hear what the one's called?
What?
The mode is called Pitch Black.
Oh, I did hear it.
Levels take place completely in the dark. One player plays as Riddick, who can see in the dark. Everyone else just has flashlights. And so it's like everyone versus Riddick, and when you kill Riddick, then you become him. So that sounds actually really sweet.
It's amazing how Riddick only works in a video game arena.
Fine by me. Yeah. That was a fantastic game. I can't wait for this one.
There was also that Ghostbusters
trailer. Yeah, the Ghostbusters trailer. And
which is the first time we got to see some voice acting, which was cool.
It looks pitch perfect. I'm so excited for that. There was one other trailer. It was a White Wolf teaser. Because Atari does publish that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was just like a CG teaser. So take from that what you will. The first round of Avatar clothing has come out for the 360. It's free, and it's winter-themed. It was, like a snowboard suit and some gloves and boots. My guy's wearing them, so you can go look at my avatar. I don't have the hat. I just have the boots in the coat.
That's nice. Wait, there's only one of each? I thought there'd be, like, a bunch of winter clothing.
Yeah, just a little bit. Whatever, it's free.
Ooh, fine.
Brutal Legend news is inbound. Tim Schafer updated the Double Fine website. The news threat level has reached Haunted Samblewood.
What does that mean?
There's a meter. There's different levels. Uh-oh. So we're at Haunted Sandalwood. I don't know
much,
what that
is
means.
Is there much above that?
I don't think so.
Oh, so this is pretty high.
Yeah. The way it goes is Jack Black is hosting the Spike TV Video Game Awards, and supposedly there will be some sort of reveal about the game there. Like, maybe a publisher. That'd be good.
That'd be a nice first step.
Yeah. Xbox Live has launched its Friendship is Free program for the month of December. Anyone with a silver account can play a Kingdom for Keflings, Aegis Wing, Bomberman Live, Hardwood Hearts, Hardwood Spades, Uno, Small Arms, and Super Street Fighter 2 HD Turbo Remix for free online.
Wait, they can play them online for free, or they can play them for free?
They can play them online for free. So, I think it's only with friends.
Okay.
So if you've got someone on your friends list who's playing one of these games and you're silver, you can play them online.
Okay, these games aren't free, but if you buy them, you can play them online.
Yeah, well, Aegis Wing is free.
Okay, well, all right.
So GTA 4 has finally come out for the PC, and apparently it's completely broken.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, numerous bugs and glitches abound. Some of them are like crashes with error codes. Others are really bad frame rate performance. Others are like textures are completely gone to the point where it's like just your car floating in space, and sometimes you see the road.
Huh.
Yeah. Steam is actually offering on a case-by-case refunds for the game to give you an idea of how bad this is.
Jeez.
I know, right? Rockstar, first of all, I hate it when companies say this. They said, like, this is only affecting a small percentage of customers. Don't say that, because then it makes the people who are screwed by this feel like assholes, you know? But they're working on it. But I love it, too, because I guess, like, you know, machines that could run Crysis at 30 FPS can't run this game in high settings. And then Rockstar is like, you know, these settings are created for future hardware. But it's like, well, the Xbox 360 runs it okay. So hopefully they get that ironed out, because I guess like the whole video capturing aspect of the game is supposed to be really robust and cool. So
yeah, maybe
we'll see. So this is great. So one of the features of Animal Crossing City Folk or whatever is that you can import some data from your copy of Wild Worlds on the DS, but they region lock that. Meaning, like, if you imported Animal Crossing from Japan and you get the American version of City Folk, you can't do it. Whatever. Except in the case of Australia, where when Wild World came out to save on manufacturing costs, and because the DS is region-free and they all speak English, they just got the U.S. version of the game.
Ah.
So if you're a legitimate consumer in Australia who wants to use this feature, you can't.
Can they complain about that?
Yeah, they probably will. Like, I don't see why that's such a big deal. Who cares?
Yeah, everyone's always region locking things, getting all worried about it.
It's still a sale. Whatever. Okay, we haven't done it in a while, but I apologize.
Oh, yeah.
We got some Rock Band news. Two things.
Thank God we finally stopped reporting, like, the new songs every week.
Yeah, that, well, that, when it was apparent that they're going to do this every week, it was like, all right. So anyway, there's an unused port in the Rock Band 2 drum set that originally was explained as being, like, for a second bass kick pedal, and apparently that was kind of a lie. They just basically said that they're going to unveil further details of what this thing does in addition to double kick functionality. So, I don't know, what do you think that could be? My guess would be maybe a pedal for actually, like, the cymbal pedal on the left, the hi-hat pedal.
Look at me.
Okay.
Does it look like I really...
In other news, MTV and Microsoft Game Studios are working together to get the lips mic working in Rock Band on the Xbox 360.
What, like, about a Guitar Hero? Does it already work with Guitar Hero?
No, so I expect Activision will make some similar claim. They haven't given a timeline, but they said it will happen, so that's cool. And the last news item is Konami had to go and put up some teaser that is causing the internet to freak out, where it's all in green. It is exclamation point plus an upside down exclamation point equals what looks to me to be the power light indicator off of the front of the Xbox 360.
Well, that power light, that power symbol is used in a lot of
things. It's also in Xbox green.
And oh, then look, here's the power symbol right here on my computer.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, and then it says, a next Metal Gear is...
What's with that grammar? A next Metal Gear...
It's Konami.
Why not the next Metal Gear is?
So...
Wrong article.
I mean, the two obvious things to me are it's either Metal Gear Solid 4 coming to 360, or the long-rumored Metal Gear Solid on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, right.
Some people are saying because the one upside exclamation point looks like an I, that it's either something for the Wii or iPhone, which I say I think you're missing the point.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I doubt it's something new. I'm sure it's more along lines of a port of some sort.
Yeah.
Before we stop news, I mentioned this before. There's a... You see how Final Fantasy Dissidia for the PSP, they announced a character from Final Fantasy XI?
Yeah, it's one of the NPCs. It's a Neru, those little dudes.
Yeah, I'm glad that they chose one of those people so at least it looks different.
Right.
Was he important to the storyline or something?
I guess. I never got far enough into that to know.
I hope they have someone from 12 in it then.
They better. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
I guess they said they wanted to get someone from 13 too, but then they realized that they did that, then it would kind of lock that character in while there's technically still room for it to change, so they didn't want to.
Well, they better do 12.
Yeah, they need something for Dissidia 2. I mean, too.
If they're including 11.
Seriously. God.
Dissidia 2 just have twice as many characters. Right. Right now they only have two characters from each game, so... Mm-hmm. Plenty of room for them to go.
Right.
All right. We can move along now.
Okay. So you want to hear my best ever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is partly inspired by something they did on One Up Yours last week, where they were asking people to send in stories of video games at Christmas. So I'm now going to ask you, what is your best ever Christmas video game story?
I was kind of thinking about even doing something like this.
I think it's a good way to kick off the holiday season.
It is. Let me see.
I know mine.
Well, there's the PS2. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah. The way our dad gave us our PS2 is very clever because he gave us all a present and we opened it and they were each a PS2.
Oh, you're ruining this story.
Oh my God. Fine, you tell the story in your dramatic gay way.
Well, here's what happened. I mean, you gotta leave some important details. Fine.
Okay.
Because this was the year the PS2 came out and they were extremely hard to get.
Okay.
And we actually didn't even ask for one.
Set up
because
we were whatever.
So, the last gifts our dad has is open. There's three gift bags. He goes, "There, AJ, yours is on the left. Mike, you're in the middle. Chris, you're on the right." And we pick them. I goes, no, wait, AJ, you got Mike's. No, wait, Chris, that's AJ's. He has us, like, switching these bags around for, like, 5 minutes. He's like, "Okay, good, you got it now. All right, go ahead." And we all pull out a PS2 controller. And then we turn around. There's dad holding a PS2. It was like, woo!
We played
NASCAR and Time Splitters. And
Dynasty Warriors
and we were like, this system isn't very good right now. But thanks, Dad.
Dynasty Warriors was kind of fun. We were all excited to have a PS2. Man, I mean, it ended up being one of the best systems ever.
True.
I think that's still the PS2. The one. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Me and that PS2, we go far back.
I had to save it a few times. Remember?
Yeah, I mean, God, we're tight. God, that PS2 and I went through a lot. 2000.
Yeah, 2000. That is an eight-year-old machine.
And it's still like, there's still a new game coming out for it this month that I want, Persona 4.
Yep.
How insane.
That's crazy.
You've seen the way Persona 4 has been getting reviewed?
Yeah, highly.
It's got like 10 reviews and its average is a 96.
That's high.
That's really high. People are like on board this time. Like last time they were like, yeah, this is nice, an 8. Now they're like, ah, three became an underground hit. So let's, you know.
Yeah, let's get four high scores.
Right.
Do you have any other such stories?
You know, I can't remember anything. I mean, I've got a lot of good games for Christmas. I can't think of any spectacular stories.
I got one more.
There's a good one. That we got Star Fox for Easter was pretty fantastic. Easter, though. Yeah, I know.
There is the Mortal. You remember the Mortal Kombat story? Where Dad basically said, "There's no way in God's green earth I'm giving you kids Mortal Kombat. It's too violent."
Did he say that?
Yeah,
I don't remember this.
I was begging him for it. That was years in third grade. I was like begging for it, and he's like, "No." And then we got it.
Yeah. Anyways, that was cool. And we turned out okay.
Yeah, see? We're well adjusted. We just have a segment in our show called Answer or Die.
No.
So anyway, this is now the part where I'd like to invite you all, the listeners, to share your Christmas video game stories with us. And we'll include them with the mail barrel in the future until the holidays are over.
Yay! Christmas time.
Woo!
We should have a new segment where we carol.
Okay.
You better not say okay if you don't mean it, because
you know what? At this point, sure, we'll do it. We should, the Saturn's hooked up, right? Christmas nights. Must be done.
Well, it will be done at some point.
It's right in wherever that binder is.
I got that binder somewhere. Yeah. Christmas nights.
Oh, want to talk about some games?
Sure.
What'd you play?
I played Warcraft, a lot of World of Warcraft.
You're level 70.
I got to level
70.
You
have a flying mount.
I can fly.
Jack and Apes.
I believe I can fly.
I'm jealous. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
What level are you?
63.
Is there? Yeah, like I got like 68 one day, and like then at that point I just kind of was like, okay, I'm gonna do this.
You're gonna do it.
It felt like it was taking longer than usual. Even I was just like, well, there's two 68 to 70 zones in Outland, and the one was like a lot harder to level through than the other. And the one that was hard to level through was the one that like had the Black Temple in it,
yeah,
which was Illidan's place. So I thought that would be like the real end one, but there weren't that many quests there, and it's kind of small.
I think it's just more for the Black Temple.
Yeah, then the other place, which had, like, the other 70s, I don't know, maybe, Kill Jaden was there. I don't know what Kill Jaden was.
I also heard it might be pronounced Kill Jadeen.
I've heard Kill Jaden.
I've heard that, too.
Because I've heard people jokingly say Kill Gaden.
There you go.
But, you know, so, like, questing there worked out much better. Cool. Whereas now I got this flying out, and now, like, I'll go to Northrend, and I won't be able to use him for a while. But I'm glad I'm there.
Let's see. I got Chrono Trigger DS.
It's Chrono Triggery, I bet.
It's phenomenal. The game itself is good. We all know that.
When was the last time you attempted a Chrono Trigger playthrough?
About a year and a half ago.
Only that long ago?
Yeah. But I didn't get that far. The furthest I've ever gotten was when I played it on my laptop a number of years ago. I think I got about halfway through the game.
It's just reminded when I played through this game over the summer on like a ROM.
Right.
So I finally played through it.
But, the game itself, I think everyone knows it at this point. If not, just trust me when I say it's one of the best 16-bit JRPGs ever made. But what's remarkable about this is how good a job they did of porting it to the DS. They did like the things you would expect, like all the commands for battles are kept on the touch screen. So the top screen's the entire battle. So like you get to see more. That's great. The touchscreen controls, like, for navigating the battle menus and everything work really well. But, like, it's the cool things I did. Like, in the field, the bottom screen is your map. You can use it for touchscreen controls, kind of like Mario 64 DS, but, like, not quite as clunky, because it's still six or eight directions. But there's hotkeys along both borders for all of the menu screens. So you don't have to go into a menu and then pick, like, items or equipment. Nice. You can just go right to it. Right from the main screen there. That's really handy. And
do you usually just move with the D-pad, though?
I alternate. It depends what I'm doing, if I'm, you know.
Because in this game, you kind of have to be careful about how you move, because you don't want to run into people sometimes.
Right. And, tapping the touch screen is the same as pressing A. So, like, you know, you can move around and release and give it a tap to click on something. And, I mean, the game still looks great. The soundtrack's phenomenal. The anime cutscenes are in this version.
Yeah, nice.
It's just a really good port.
It's Chrono Trigger. Like, if I'm making one prediction for 2009, I told you before, is that we're going to see a new Chrono game announced.
That'd be phenomenal.
That's
announced. When will it come out?
Well, yeah, I'm not making any promises about when it's coming out. God. I mean, I'm not even sure if Final Fantasy 13 is coming out next year.
Probably not.
So, probably not. I got to play Left 4 Dead on 360 with some friends from the Squadron of Shame, Rock God, Indie, and Beige. That was fun stuff. Actually, Beige only played with us versus. One of I think Indy's friends played with us during.
Well, we played together. We did the cornfield level. Yet? No,
well,
no.
We did that on PC. We played together.
You
that was
jackass.
Fun.
What? You left me for dead.
But,
what do you know?
There you go. Well, what the AJ? The military van was there to take us away, and like the girl computer player falls down in a
it
mass.
It was Francis. I could have saved him if you helped me.
How could you say no? It was.
Well, I didn't know a tank was coming.
Yeah, everything bad. Every millions of bad things were on our way to come kill us. Yeah, you're like, I'm gonna save you.
I thought you were with me. I thought you had my back.
I was shooting at things for a little bit, then I realized that I was not going to kill all these zombies.
Yeah, thanks.
At one point I thought you were okay, so I went in the van, and then everyone else died. I even know the other computer player died, probably trying to help you guys fruitlessly. Yeah, see what that got him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I drove away at the end okay.
I mean, that was a cool chapter because it was predominantly outdoors.
Yeah.
See, like, literally zombies were coming from everywhere, like out of the trees and the foliage and everything. It was scary.
I played through the airport level on Xbox. But by the way, I still really prefer playing this game online. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You mean PC?
PC, yeah. I don't know why as many of my friends really do have the 360.
I think it's because their PCs aren't up to snuff.
I guess. I mean, I'm glad I got a new PC because it's just you don't headshot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I miss headshotting super well.
Right.
But I mean, it's still always a fun game no matter what.
Hmm.
Did you play anything else?
How about that
Flash game? What was that called?
Oh, Auditorium. Good call. I do want to talk about this. Yeah. It's the demo. The full game's coming.
Oh, that's just a demo?
Yeah, that's just it's going to be five acts in all. It's just three acts in the demo. It's this kind of music puzzle game on Flash. Go to playauditorium.com. I mean, usually I don't talk about Flash games, but this one's good. You're controlling this thing called the Flow by using these gravitational orbs to manipulate it so it goes through these music collectors and you generate this music track layer by layer. It almost feels like someone took the mini games from Electroplankton and made an actual game out of it. But, I mean, just go check it out. It's absolutely cool. It looks phenomenal and plays well. And they're talking about an iPhone port, which would be perfect for this game, so that would be nice. I also played Bejeweled Twist. Actually, on the PC.
Oh, really?
Bejeweled always does to me. I was like, oh, I'll try this. And like 2 hours later, I was like, okay, I need to stop.
Right.
It's good, though. It's a nice little...
Very, very Bejeweled-y.
Yeah, it's a nice twist on the formula.
Oh, that was bad.
I'm sorry.
That was terrible. Ugh, God. Did you play anything else?
I feel like there was something I told you not to let me forget before we started.
No, the only one you told me I thought was Chrono Trigger.
There's Chrono Trigger. Was there something else
what
I
else
played?
What else did you play? What else?
I feel like there was something else.
I feel like there isn't.
I did play the trial for Banjo-Kazooie and XBLA, but I mean, there's
Banjo-Kazooie. I saw a couple friends on Xbox Live playing the Resident Evil 5 demo.
Jackass.
Because only out in Japan, they did some crazy thing. The one guy was trying to get me to do it. I'm like, no way, man. I'm not.
Yeah,
it sounds like too much
work.
We're
good. So, yeah. We can wait.
I do want that, though.
Yes.
Resident Evil 5.
I guess that's it, then. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about Fallout at the end.
Right. Fallout. Okay. Well, why don't you tell all the good people what the downloadable game releases were.
Okay. On the WiiWare, Space Invaders Get Even. It's a game where you actually get to play as the invaders.
That's interesting.
I guess this is supposed to be not bad. Like I said, just wish it was a demo. It's only $5. Oh, that's cool. There's also something called Pit Crew Panic. I don't know if you're the Pit Crew, I guess. Like a puzzle kind of game.
Oh. Is this like that, what was that game? For PC episode one game with the Pit Droid.
Oh, the Pit Droid game. That was phenomenal.
That was actually pretty good.
That was it was a puzzle game, kinda like Lemmings. It was great.
But probably nothing like this, huh?
No. The Virtual Console okay, here's the deal, everyone. The Virtual Console game is Metal Slug 2 for 900 points, $9.
Only one game now, huh?
But you can go buy the Metal Slug Anthology for $20 or $30, which includes like 6 Metal Slug games, including this one. Oh yeah, that was a launch title. So don't download this, is what I'm saying.
Didn't like a new one, like Metal Slug 7 just come out?
Yeah.
They're still making these, huh?
Yeah.
Is it necessary? They're also similar. They're fun.
Yeah, but...
They're just all so similar.
Live Arcade had Banjo-Kazooie. Just,
you know, Banjo-Kazooie.
The PS...
That's what you played?
Yeah, that's what I just said. I said that and you went on.
I was glad.
I mean, I said it's Banjo-Kazooie. Tweaked controls.
I don't remember this at all. When did this conversation happen?
Yeah, 2 minutes ago. Don't worry about it.
Sorry.
It's okay.
My bad.
On the PlayStation Network for the PS3, Soldner X Himmelstürmer. That sounds very German. I don't know what it is.
I don't know any of those words.
And the PSP finally has some decent games. They've answered my prayers. And I'm going to get one of these eventually, probably this week. Everyday Shooter, Super Stardust Portable, Archer McLean's Mercury, which I believe has come out for the DS and like the Wii or something. No, you know, this actually might be, I think this was a disc release for the PSP.
Yeah, this was like a PSP.
And Brain Challenge, which I believe is also an XBLA. But I've heard Super Stardust Portable to be quite good.
Right.
And so I get that
over every day.
I mean, every day we have on the PS3 already. Yeah.
Kind of hard.
And GameTap's new releases this week were Grim, Iron John, and Gothic 3.
Gothic 3.
Yeah. Someone was talking about that recently, I feel like.
Maybe.
To us. I don't know. Oh, no, I'm thinking something else.
You were mistaken.
Yeah, I was. What's out for reals? You good?
Yeah, so these games are out this week. Got to remind people, because it used to be the games that were coming out, but now it's like the games that came out.
Yes.
Prince of Persia came out for the PS3 and Xbox 360, which I have now.
Yes, we'll play that tonight.
Well, I'll play it tonight. Yeah. If you will.
I'll probably be up till 4. My sleep schedule's all thrown off. Right. So.
Grand Theft Auto 4 came out for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's buggy, so
yeah. Yeah, I might hold off on that.
Kingdom Hearts RE Chain of Memories came out for the PS2.
Yes.
Very nice. I had to bring it up. This cover art looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
I think, I don't know if I'm going to get this with some of my birthday money. Just hold up till Christmas. I'll hold up till Christmas, I think.
Yeah, you got
I got enough. Yeah, honestly. Surreal Humans Path of the Furon.
I heard this is pretty terrible.
Yeah, for the Xbox 360. Not all that good. Dragon Ball Z Infinite War for the PS2. This game confuses me because it's the new, like, Dragon Ball Z fighting game.
Like Budokai Tenkaichi esque?
More like Budokai esque.
Okay.
But confuses me because there's already that 360 one.
Uh huh.
Burst Limit or whatever, that was Budokai S. So they went next gen.
And now they went back. Weird.
It is weird. Anyways, for DS, Prince of Persia the Fallen King, did you see any videos of it?
I saw a video of it. It looks very interesting.
Yeah, it kind of does. I haven't heard anything about it.
It's all touchscreen controlled.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
My Fitness Coach for the Wii, which kind of sounds like Wii Fit. Like you said, Super Stardust Portable for the PSP. Family Party, 30 great games.
I bet they are.
Yeah. Mushroom Men, the Spore Wars for the Wii.
This game has been getting, like, super hyped. And I think
there's been a lot of ads
for it. Well, yeah. And, like, I think people started to buy into it a bit. And it's, like, basically the reason anyone cares about this game is, like, it's new IP on the Wii. That's, like, not a minigame collection. Like, that's all you need to do to get recognition on the Wii.
Well, who's making it?
I don't even know. And it looks terrible. And I think it's already getting poor reviews.
All right, then. Banjo-Kazooie came out through 6, like you said. The Tale of Despero, which is based
off... What the hell is that?
That's a movie.
Oh, the mouse, right.
Yeah, yeah. Coming out for DS, Wii, and PS2. Or came out, I should say. SP Ray.
Spray.
I guess Spray, yeah. Thank you for that, for the Wii. Mushroom Man, Rise of the Fun Guy for the DS. And Band Manager for the PC. More like a sim game.
That's like basically Band Tycoon.
We had this conversation last week.
Did we?
I think we did. This game was on this list last week.
Okay, one of those.
Except I said it's like Band Tycoon.
Oh, there you go. It's all come full circle.
You know what I realized we forgot to talk about? We were at the mall today, and they had that big Wii kiosk.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
They had a giant Wii kiosk in the mall. And
we played Wii Music, which I got no enjoyment out of.
I think there's some amusement to it.
It wasn't even accurate. Like, I'm trying to play this stupid bass line to Do Re Mi, and it wasn't even keeping up with me. It's just quarter notes.
I was just playing... like the jam thing, whatever. That was kind of neat with the drums.
That didn't do it for me because it wasn't like that guy in the E3 video where it's like I'm actually moving my hand in space to virtually hit these things.
Yeah, you just hold down a button to kind of hit the cymbals or something. They had that Mario baseball game, Mario Sluggers. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, I enjoyed that.
To it, supposedly.
I heard it said a while ago that the game actually has a lot of adventure game aspects to it, like point and click adventure.
Interesting.
Yes.
Huh. Well, I don't know. Okay. So that's there too. All right.
Let's read some top 10.
Mm-hmm. Eric Robbins, top 10 worst Sonic games. Number 10, Sonic Spinball.
I already disagree. I'm one of the people who really likes Sonic Spinball.
I think this was back when we liked anything Sonic.
But I like the game. I've played it recently and I still enjoy it.
Sonic Spinball. It does have its detractors though. Most people do not like this one.
Right.
That's Sonic R, which another also, game. This is also back from when I just liked Sonic so much, I barely disliked the Sonic
This game had great music.
I think I tried playing this again at one point, I was like, man, I cannot believe I like this.
At least Sonic was running in this one.
Yeah.
As opposed to one further on the list.
It was interesting. 8 is Tails Sky Patrol. We actually had this.
Oh,
this
was
a Game Gear game.
We did have this.
It was very slow and kind of weird.
precursor to Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah, it was interesting, I guess. Same as Sonic Heroes, which I like to call the most broken game I've ever played.
Seriously, it was so buggy.
Only because I didn't play Sonic the Hedgehog 06.
Right.
God. Six and Stuck Cox, which I still like.
Well, here's my thing. I managed to convince myself that, okay, this is not a Sonic game. You know, it is a Knuckles game, and we're going to accept it for what it is.
I don't know. It still seemed pretty Sonic-y for me. I mean, it was even like the same sprites almost. Plus, me and you got to play it together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can kind of understand. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic Riders number 5, yeah.
I should iterate. It's not terrible.
It's kind of bad. Pretty terrible.
Just, it does all those Sonic things of, we're going to put him on a hoverboard, even though he's supposed to run really fast, and here's 8 new characters, and it's like, oh, god damn it, you don't get it.
Although that one green parrot guy was one of the better Sonic character designs I've seen in a while.
Right, he was annoying as hell.
Before Sonic Shuffle, god, that was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad.
Even back when I liked everything Sonic, I was like, man, this should just be more like Mario Party. I remember how, like, it didn't do the Mario Party thing where you would just have a minigame at the end of, like, the, you know, everyone took a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just, like, we barely played the minigames. It was annoying. 3 Sonic 3D Blast, which, not so good.
We tried to convince ourselves we liked it, but even we couldn't.
I think I told myself I liked it, but didn't play it.
Right.
I chose not to play it, but just pretend that I liked it.
Yeah.
She was Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh, God.
Which I didn't even try.
I rented it to try the first level and stopped.
I didn't even try. I was just like, yeah, I will not play this. And one is Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, which I played the demo of and said, okay, that's no.
No.
Broken demo was, ugh. Yeah, no good there. Honorable mentions are Sonic Fighters and Sonic Labyrinth, which, both not very good games.
Let's hit the emails.
Hey, I'll hit these emails. First, I gotta go to my emails.
You have to sign out.
Man, I brought these up.
Yeah, but because you're signed into Google Docs thing is me.
All right. Well, don't look, because I have Christmas stuff, I mean, here. Or, ordering all this stuff online and all that. Let's do Drew's first, because this way I'll kind of go back. Okay. I want to do this to you in the form of an answer or die.
Okay.
Okay?
I won't read it then. Go read it to me.
Okay, if you had to play either Sonic 06, Sonic Unleashed, Sonic Heroes, or Shadow the Hedgehog, which would you choose? 5?
Sonic Unleashed.
Really? Out of all those?
Yeah, and my reason for this would be that, like I said, of all of them, it's got the best good elements, and they all got absolute shit, but I would say of the 4 of them, at least this one, I never, like, just fell through the floor.
I'll tell you what, though, I actually tried playing it again after we recorded it, and I was kind of, like, getting, at least along with it, but, like, then it did this thing where, like, I couldn't go to the next level unless I, like, went back to other levels and got more medallions that I needed.
Oh, that's where those things come into play?
Right. But you're going too fast. You can't, like,
go. If you pass one up, you can't go back because it's all spring ramps and grind rails.
Right. So, I couldn't do it. So then I later said, I cannot go any further in this game. So I had to stop. So I don't know if I agree with you because that drove me crazy. Why can't
the I didn't know about that.
So. Why can't the only prerequisite for going to the next level
be beating the last level?
Yes.
Why do we have to get shit while we're there? Just let us get to the end.
Yes. Okay. Isn't that what, like, Sonic and Secret Rings did? Like, you had to play the same level over.
Oh, well, yeah, there are objectives. Like, don't collect any rings. It's like shit like that. It's
stupid.
I don't want to.
Anyways, he goes on. I personally would choose Sonic Heroes because out of the ones I played, he has Touch Unleashed. It probably made me the less angry than the other two. Which,
Sonic Heroes was a close second for me in my mind.
Yeah,
Sonic. It was a cool concept.
It was the one that was the most, like, only. That one that was kind of,
it's
like,
the one that should have worked.
Right, yeah.
It should have.
Didn't it? It was just so broken, and this was the one that introduced the idea of, like, life bars.
Yeah.
Like, which was the worst thing they could have done.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that and the glitches, it might have been a good game. I mean, I loved the demo for it.
Bad boss fights, too, I want to add.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was such a kind of a neat idea. It's a shame it sucks.
Like, maybe they should revisit that and just fix it. And just be Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. We don't need the, like, Chaotix team and the
Chaotix
team Rose.
I was kind of excited for that the second. Like, wow, they're bringing back the Chaotix team.
Yeah.
Awesome. Maybe not. Maybe not. Jake Arbogast writes to us, hey, fellas. Golly gee, isn't it swell?
He didn't say that.
Okay. Hey, fellas. I was just listening to your latest show, particularly the part about Sonic Unleashed. We got a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
I haven't played it, but I feel your pain. I played Sonic 1 and 2 at my friend's house when I was little and loved it. Can't say I've played much Sonic since, except for the first level of that one for Dreamcast, and I'm guessing there's a reason for that. can't remember ever hearing a great review for a Sonic game. Isn't that sad? Mm. Now I can only remember. Now I cannot remember any of my friends coming up to me saying.
Nor can I.
Nor, oh, thank you. Nor can I ever remember any one of my friends coming up to me and saying, "Hey, check out this awesome / decent / acceptable Sonic game that just came out." Never happens. Your rage is similar to what I feel at Sony sometimes. Such a powerhouse, so few games. Mm. Also, wanted to give a shout out to Breath of Fire 3 for that games that have a 3 best ever. I can't remember if I told you that before, but you should have played it if you're a JRPG fan. It's one of my favorites. The beginning is a tad slow for a bit, but who boy picks up good.
You did tell us
that. Yeah, I was about to say, someone told us about Breath of Fire 3.
It must have been you.
And I can't imagine it was someone different. Well, maybe someday we'll get to it.
Was that Super Nintendo, that one? Or PlayStation?
No, I don't think it was PlayStation. I'm not an expert. He probably told us at one point it would be Mattis from the beginning.
Sorry.
But we'll look into this. Anyway, oh, and even though you aren't fans of the games, Devil May Cry 3 kind of breathed some fresh life in the series. I want to say I did play Devil May Cry 3.
Yes.
And although I'm not a fan of the series, I kind of liked Devil May Cry 3 for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people bagged on Devil May Cry 2, so nice comeback. In lieu of this episode's rant about Sonic and frustration of waiting 10 years to no avail for a Sonic revival, what other games do you think brought a series or genre back to life? Have you ever witnessed a series die off and get brought back hardcore later on? I may be wrong, but I say Metal Gear Solid falls into this category. Sign Jake. Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear's, I guess, close. 3 would be the one then, huh? Yeah, but like, if you only have a misstep of one game, it's kind of hard to say.
I think...
And 2's not a... it had problems. I wouldn't say it was a huge misstep. I think an obvious one, at least for me, is Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was a series that was just really kind of dead. Not just so much because, not so even so much the main installment games, but just like all the crappy spinoffs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole genre was just...
I would say Fallout 3 did that, because after Fallout 2, you had Fallout Tactics Brotherhood of Steel, which was okay, and that Fallout Brotherhood of Steel that was like Dark Alliance.
Yeah,
that was pretty terrible. And Fallout 3 kind of has brought that franchise back to the limelight in a big way.
I think recently Mega Man 9 is a big one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
Because
Mega Man, the brand's been so diluted.
We have to see if, like...
That was a nice shot of purity.
We have to see if, like, the excitement that Mega Man 9 generated is going to result in Mega Man games kind of returning to the roots in general.
That'd
if this
be
was
great.
More, yeah, I hope this wasn't kind of a one-shot deal.
I hope not, yeah. Very true.
I don't know. What other... Are there any other series you can think that kind of fell off the rails? Prince of Persia was kind of gone for a while. I mean, I never cared about Prince of Persia. Then Time brought that back.
Yeah, and then it kind of faltered again with Warrior Within, and Two Thrones did a nice job of fixing that one up.
Yeah, so they say. By the way, that guy who did the voice of the Dark Prince, he's not dead.
He took 3 gunshot wounds in Mumbai, and fortunately he's expected to make a full recovery.
57.
He was cracking jokes about it.
Oh, that's good. I feel like there should be more. But, like, some series really do just kind of go away.
Yeah.
Like
Earthworm... Well, you could argue Tomb Raider Legend did a nice job of bringing back...
Some
I mean, that series was at rock bottom, I would say.
But some series just die, like Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
You know, one bad game, if your series is, you know, only on the Earthworm Jim level, and you're gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People can respond if they're thinking of anything. I want to almost say... There are some games that are also just gone for a while. Like, Metroid Prime was a big comeback, but only because there hadn't been a Metroid game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that counts, too.
Yeah, I guess so. It was a big comeback of sorts.
Very nice.
Yes, very nice. Thank you for the emails, everybody. Well, then, we're going to take a break, but we're going to talk about Fallout 3 when we come back, and it's going to be spoilerific and all that.
Yes, we will go into great detail about the ending in particular.
Yes, so, you know, if you don't want to hear about that, then you can leave now. So we'll say goodbye to all of you guys who may be leaving now. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find our website at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can contact me at tolkoto@gmail.com.
edgeguy711@gmail.com.
So you're leaving now, so long. If not, we'll be back in, let's say, about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
How long are these breaks?
30.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Some number of seconds. Bye.
And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
And we're back!
All right.
Fallout.
Fallout 3,
phenomenal game.
I enjoyed it. Took you long enough to beat it.
Yeah, well, I think one fundamental reason for that, I noticed you and Chris both do this, you're just jumping through the dialogue. I mean, you read it, but you don't listen to it. I listen to everything.
That's fair enough. After a while, I just kind of...
Yeah.
Everything gets good enough. I get the inflections. I don't know. There's something for reading these days, I feel like. I appreciate that. It's all voice and stuff. So, what have you done since last time we talked to Dan?
The big things I've done, I guess. I did... Okay, we should talk about the Tranquility Lane scene.
We should.
Because this was pretty cool, I thought. So, to build up to it. This is where you get to Vault 112, I believe, where you figure out where your dad is, and you go inside, and it's all filled with robots, and you see everybody's in these pods. So you go into one of these pods yourself, and it's basically the Matrix. So you're in this, like, idyllic little 1950s town. Like, you know, it's all in black and white, and it looks like a sitcom.
It was like Pleasantville.
Yeah, yeah. And you eventually figure out that this little girl named Betty is actually this, like, basically evil German scientist who likes tormenting these people.
Right.
So he wants you to do all of his dirty work to, you know, for your freedom, basically. And so here's how we approached it differently. We both found that in the abandoned house, you find his personal computer that lets him control this thing. Complete accident.
The lady didn't tell you about it?
She did later, but I found it by myself first. I walked in there and, like, went to click on something and noticed everything was making noises. And I just kind of figured it out.
It took me a long time to figure out that those things were making, like, noises or to make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I knew that the computer was in there, and I had to spend a long time finding it.
Right.
It was interesting, though, is that I did a couple of the mean things that she told me to do because I didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So I think I told the one kid that their parents were getting divorced because of him or something.
Right. I tried. It didn't work. I just had to punch him.
Oh, yeah. I got him to cry somehow. And then I got some other couple to, like, divorce.
How'd you do that?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I'm sure I just said something.
I went to the neighbors and grabbed some of her underwear and then put it on his workbench downstairs and took the wife down to see it.
That's more interesting than what I did. I just talked to her.
Yeah.
That was very clever. The one I was supposed to do was to kill somebody cleverly, which sounded kind of like fun, but you know. It was interesting how I kind of have, like, moral firewalls, because it got to the point where she told me to kill someone that said, okay, there's got to be something else I got to do.
Well, here's why I didn't do what you did. So you find the computer, and I read all the files. And there is a command in the computer to activate the Chinese invasion scenario. And when I'm reading it, I learned that this thing has, like, the controls turned off or something, I thought. So the way I understood it was, whereas everything else this guy has done to these people hasn't actually killed them, this one would. So I was like, well, I don't want to do that. You know, so I actually thought I was doing them a favor by just listening to him and not actually activating this. But apparently I missed the part where there was a way to, or it, for whatever reason, didn't kill them. Because that's what you did, right? You activated the invasion of China.
They killed them. The whole point is that it was a mercy killing ad guy. The whole point is that those people were living terrible, terrible lives of torment.
Okay.
And suffering at the hands of the crazy German guy.
I see.
So you just kind of killed him, and the guy let you go, right?
Well, yeah, I did all his stuff. Well, so yeah, like, he wanted me to kill a lady in a clever way, so I got her to her house, accessed her computer, locked the doors, and turned the robot on the kill everything that moves mode.
Huh.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy, actually. Let's see, what else did he have me do after that? There was one more.
You must have lost a lot of karma.
It wasn't that bad, actually. I gained enough back.
I gained karma just by doing the Chinese.
Oh, division. Weird. See, yeah. I misinterpreted that. But the final step is when he has you go to the doghouse by the abandoned house, get out the knife and the mask that's in there, and you become the little slasher who's like this campfire ghost story kind of figure that everyone knows about. And he basically has you run around and brutally murder everybody in this town. Like, because for whatever reason, this knife, every time you hit someone with it, like, a limb goes flying. And I tell you, I felt legitimately bad about it. I mean, there's, like, these 1950s housewives cowering from you, and I was like, sorry.
You don't kill a kid.
No, the kid kind of disappears. There's no child killing in this game.
Right. Even though you come across, like, a camp of children.
Yeah, you notice, like, your gun goes down when you first walk in there.
Oh.
Yeah. But, yeah. What was it? Oh, yeah. And like I said, in my mind, my justification to myself was, well, I'm not really killing them. they're going to be okay. And in fact, when I got out, I checked all their vitals in the computers, and they were all fine. So I thought I was doing them a favor, but apparently
not. I'm surprised you're still alive.
Yeah, because if you read, did you read about all his past scenarios?
Yeah.
I mean, he's killed them all there before, too. They just keep, he just keeps resetting it.
Oh, okay. Mm. So, how about after that? You know, first of all, I was kind of surprised that your father actually was there. I kind of assumed that you'd be...
you'd be one step behind him again?
Yeah, but no, he actually caught up with him.
So, yeah, you find your dad, and you go back with him to Rivet City, and you convince the scientist, you know, go...
I don't know if we need so much of a sort of...
Okay. Well, okay, so we get to the moment where your dad sacrifices himself.
Of course, I wish I could have been surprised, but Liam Neeson always dies in everything he's in, so...
Actually, kind of mad. I actually, for whatever reason, looked away at that moment when he went to overload the console, so I didn't see that actually happen.
Oh.
But I thought it was a compelling moment, the way he climbs to the glass, looks at you, tells you to run and everything.
No.
My only thing was, like, that colonel's in there with them, then that guy came back somehow. And I was like, what the hell?
It was that guy?
Yeah.
Oh. You sure?
Mm-hmm.
If you say so.
It was.
Whatever.
I did this all very rapidly.
Right.
I think you drew it out a little more from these points. I kind of rushed the end of it.
Right, because I was kind of pushing you to finish it. You beat the game at level 18. Mm. I beat level 19. Okay, why don't we get to the ending? Everything from like that kind of final push.
Okay, so you're in the Enclave stronghold. And you work your way through it, and you find out that the President Eden is, in fact, a computer AI. So you said you beat him using your speech craft.
Right, I just kind of talked to him, yeah.
I used my science, and it was kind of funny because, like, you know, I had this science check, and I said something like, you know, you're just a machine. You're not fit to run humanity. And it was a success, and then he says to me something like, I don't remember verbatim, but he said, no, I'm well-suited to run humanity because I'm infallible. Well, what makes you infallible? I'm a machine. And then I was like, well, that's circular logic. You're saying because you're a machine, you're infallible because you're a machine. And he's like, wait a sec. Processing. Does not compute. Ready for new user input. And I was like, self-destruct the base and shut yourself down, please. And he's like, Roger, we'll comply.
I wish I could remember what he did. I don't think it was like, it was kind of like that, but it was more like, I got him to agree with me. Like, he just said, okay, I think I better blow up the base. You better run for it.
Huh.
Like, he was, like, almost on my side.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it was.
And it was great, too, because, you know, you go running outside, and there's Fox, the friendly super mutant. And what was great is I turned around to watch the explosion. And, you know, it's a really cool explosion. You see this thing blowing up. And then the giant vault door goes blasting through the air right over my head and landed right behind me. It was like they planned it like that. It was really cool.
That's pretty sweet.
So, you go back to the Citadel.
You know that your partner depends on how you play the game?
Your karma levels.
Yeah, right. So
well,
if you're...
in theory, at this point, I could have had Dogmeat, Cross, and Fox with me.
Which one was Cross?
The Paladin.
Oh, right, yeah.
I lost Dogmeat, actually. He didn't die. I lost him.
You never found him?
No, I went back to Vault 101, like you said. He wasn't there.
Huh, interesting.
So it was kind of just... I just wrote it off as, you know, something that happened to my character. You know, lost his dog. It was very tragic.
I mean, once you have Fox, it's kind of...
Yeah, he's fun. But, so, you know, you go back to the Citadel and they activate Liberty Prime, which is hilarious because he's like, all communists on American soil are inferior and shall die.
Liberty Prime.
But, so, I mean, the march from the Citadel to the memorial. I mean, there wasn't a ton for you to do.
I
picked off a few guys, but it was damn fun.
It's nice because, you know, you actually are walking from there to there.
Yeah,
that's what I say about the open world.
It was a cool experience. I enjoyed that very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked when I did the clearing out the Enclave, because by this point, I had sneaking to 100 points, and I had the perk that gave me another 10 points to sneak, and then when I was running, it didn't count against me in sneak mode. So I literally, and I had the sniper perk and the better headshots perk. So I went in there with my hunting rifle. There were like five guys. I sneak attack killed all five of them in the head, one shot, one kill. I felt like a complete badass.
I never even did sneak attack
kills. Oh, it's fun. And you know, I had the recon power armor and it was just sweet.
Nice.
So you find the colonel. Now you were able to speechify him away.
Right. I just got speechified him away and then like he kind of walked away and I guess it was kind of like, hey, you could shoot him if you want to. then I did it. Like, even one of the people was kind of like, oh, man, you're... Yeah, I can't believe you didn't shoot him. You're a better person than I am or something like that. That's like, nice. Yeah, I'm a very nice guy.
That's nice.
You killed the bastard.
Well, he wouldn't listen to me. He opened fire on me, and I shot his head off. And actually, in a twist of irony, his head then bounced into the water source for the Project Impurity. Or Impurity. I was like, oh, that's gross, but I guess it's going to get purified, so it's okay.
Yeah, maybe. Ugh.
Okay, so the whole thing happens. Their thing is, you know, it has to be activated now. It's going to blow up, and it's either you or Paladin Lion's going to do it. So, I mean, because we both played good characters, I mean, yeah, I'm going
to
do it.
Right. It'd be interesting to make Lions do it.
Mm-hmm. But it was – okay, I just want to, like, relate my experience of it because this was really cool to me. You know, I go – like, they lock you in there, and I'm like, shit, 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 shit. Because I think if you do wait, it will blow up, and that's the ending. That, like, Project Impurity was destroyed and you died in vain and shit, the world's still fucked.
Dang it.
But, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to, I remembered seeing a number somewhere, one of the dialogue choices when the colonel was interrogating you, but I couldn't remember what it was, but I tried it.
Well, you're missing the point that there's the number pad you have to push, right?
Yeah, there was the pad. So I tried one set of numbers, didn't work, and I'm like, shit, 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 shit. I was, like, feeling the pressure. So I go to my notes and I see the Bible verse, and it's, what is it? It's chapter 12. Verse 16, or chapter 2, verse 16. And it was this weird feeling. I never had this happen to me in a game before. I actually felt
a sort of connection.
A connection with my in-game parents.
Right.
Which was really cool. And when you realize that the, you know, that Bible verse is the Alpha Omega one, the beginning and the end, and that was one of the first things you hear, like, it was really cool to the point where I literally felt this sense of calm come over me as I went to go put this key in.
Right, exactly.
Almost like if this was a movie, you would see like the ghosts of your parents with their hands on your shoulder as you type this in, and then you all three hit the go button together or something weird like that. It was cool. It was cool. Like, and like the water clears up. There's Jefferson like looking at you. Yeah. I'm like, I did it, Thomas. I did it. And now I die.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it was just so good because it was like the pressure was on, like, oh shit. And I was just like, waiting for someone to tell me number, you know, for the game to hold my hand. What's going on? And then, like, I didn't even have to go to my notes. And, like, I'm just like, wait, numbers, numbers, numbers. Whoa, wait, what was that Bible verse? And I had to go and look. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a great solution.
It is an awesome.
I mean, it was a very good storytelling device.
Right, and, like, there weren't many, like, puzzles in the game, but, like, that one.
That was cool.
And some people complain that if you have Fox with you, since Fox isn't affected by radiation, why can't you just send him in?
Yeah, and you actually did try to talk to him, right, which I didn't even think
of. People complain about this. I don't know if they tried, but you can talk to Fox, and he'll tell you, oh, no, friend, I wouldn't interfere with your destiny or something like that.
Mm-hmm, which is a good way of writing it off.
Kind of a cop-out, but I mean,
a little bit. Hey, well, if
he went in, he wouldn't know what the combination was. So.
What I understand is that the whole NPCs with you was added very late to the game.
Probably.
To where to have rewritten the endings would have been too much.
Yeah. I wonder, like, what if you send in the Paladin, what's her face?
Something like Sarah Lyon.
If you send her in, how would she do it? Would she know the code?
I don't know. I bet you there's something that where it still has to be you.
You think?
I don't know. I didn't try.
Yeah, I can't imagine how, like, you get to live.
Mm-hmm.
This brings up one question.
Well, or I bet you what would happen is she does go in but doesn't know the code and the whole thing blows up anyway and you die in the explosion.
It's a pretty unsatisfying ending if you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
Be interesting. We'll have to find out. Now, how do you think this DLC is going to work where it continues the story?
Yeah, because first two don't. It seemed like they're just kind of one-off things.
But the one says continuing the story.
Yeah, and maybe you survive. That'd be kind of cool.
Maybe you're a mutant now. Maybe you're a ghoul. But you're given that one thing by that one supercomputer to potentially kill the mutants, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I used it.
I didn't.
Which is my kind of one negative, the one stain on my report card, if you will.
No, because I was like, you know what? I've met some nice ghouls. I've even met a couple of nice super mutants. There's hope for everybody. They all deserve a chance.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking. I mean, I was pressured.
What,
I was
how like, did you do that? Are you supposed to put that in something before you enter the code?
It's right outside the door you can put it in.
Yeah, okay, I didn't even
like,
see it.
I was like, go. And that was... kind of did, and the narrator was not happy with me.
Some people complain that they didn't understand why the Enclave turning on the purifier was such a bad thing. Now, you played a chunk of Fallout 1, right?
Yes.
From what I understand, I mean, there's
the Enclave didn't really figure anything, so Fallout 2, though.
Okay. I understand that there is lore precedent to believe the Enclave to be bad.
Yes.
It was enough for me that the Brotherhood of Steel didn't like them, and my dad liked the Brotherhood of Steel, so I was like, well, I'm going to listen to these guys. Mm-hmm. And it is later revealed to you that basically the only reason they want to do it is so that they have control. You know, they're not doing it really for the good of everybody. They just want, if they control the clean water, then everyone's going to follow them.
Right.
Which, granted, you don't find that out till the end. I don't know. I think people have got a little hung up on that.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear that they're not nice.
Yeah. They're,
you know, when they kill your dad.
Yeah. These aren't the good people of sorts. Yes. But, man, there's still a lot of side quests to do for you. I mean, I did a few. There's one where you have to, like, go find, like, 30 Nuka-Cola quantum balls.
Yeah, I've been saving them after I heard about that.
Which drives me crazy because I sold so many of them.
Yeah.
And I went to find as like many as I could.
Can't you buy them back?
And I could, not that I saw. I tried. I mean, I can't remember exactly who I sold them to, you know. But right. There's one quest I was quest line that was cool that you didn't even see, where one time I was literally just wandering around. I kind of came across this old lady living by herself in a house, and she wanted me to go to one of the vaults and get a violin for her. It was really cool. At first, I could have gone to the Vault-Tec headquarters to kind of find out where the vault was.
The Vault-Tec headquarters in the game?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can go there.
Neat. Yeah. That'd be cool.
It's actually, it was really hard, actually.
This is the thing.
It was filled with robots, and they were
Robots are, if you, it helps if you have the, what grenades are they called that kill the robots? Starts with a P.
Yeah, plasma, maybe, right?
Yeah, something.
Photon? Yeah.
Photon grenades. I think that's it. Yeah, they're easier if you use a bunch of those. But that's the thing. When I went through Vault 87, I read every computer monitor to get the backstory of that place. And you find out that Vault 87 is like the genesis of super mutants. Mm-hmm. That was one of the testing areas.
But super mutants are in, first of all.
I'm sure they did it all throughout the country, but this was like the DC center for it. I mean, they had different labs. I was legitimately interested in this world. Like, I find it fascinating. They did such a good job of creating this experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was. So, I liked it. You know, I'm surprised some people don't like the ending. I guess some people don't like the slideshow sort of thing at the end where they just.
And you know what? To me, the ending, that's not the ending.
Yeah, exactly.
That may as well be like the credit reel, you know?
Yeah.
The ending is you putting in that code.
Right, that's.
And that was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. That was a great moment. Okay, so I loved Fallout 3.
I loved it too, and I look forward to. I don't know if I want to just pick up with my character and do side quests and everything, or start a new character who's evil.
I want to at some point. I might get a special edition of that game by the way.
You should get the PC version.
We'll see.
You should. Oh, let's totally do that.
Maybe. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening again. We'll close out again. Once again, our website is explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
Yes.
We won't get our contact information on there. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening.
Yes.
And, good night. Have a good evening.